Good day and welcome to Public Health Matters, brought to you every month by the Cuyahoga County Board of Health. Tune in at noon on the third Saturday of every month for information that can help you lead a healthy life. And now, your hosts for Public Health Matters.
Hello, everyone, and thank you again for joining us on Public Health Matters. My name is Kevin Brennan. I'm the Communications Officer for the Cuyahoga County Board of Health. And today we have a full schedule. We have two guests with us today, and also the return of my co-host. You may remember for the last several years, I've been hosting this show along with Suzanne Rush, who was our former program manager in our food protection unit. And she has rejoined our organization as a member of our external affairs team. So we're very excited to have her back with us. So Suzanne is back in the co-host seat. But thank you all again for joining us. A reminder that we are the Cuyahoga County Board of Health. You can find us on the web at ccbh.net. You can call us between 8:30 and 4:30 Monday through Friday at 216-201-2000. If you have an emergency after hours, please call the 216-201-2000 number and listen through the message, and you'll be instructed to a number to call after hours with an emergency situation, and we'll be glad to help you. So today we are going to be talking about a number of things that fall under the umbrella of preconception health. And I'm not going to deign to go too far into this myself, but I will tell you, according to the information that our guests have given me, that preconception health, the idea of this is it refers to the health of people during their reproductive years or the years during which they can have a child. So our focus as an agency is now taking steps to protect the health of a baby that they may have sometime soon or maybe a little bit further down the road. Just trying to get people to think about their own health, the health of their child, making sure their family, you know, it stays healthy in the meantime. So these are all the kind of things that we're trying to focus on. So our guests today, I won't run through their introductions here, Angela Henderson, who is a grant program manager here with us at the Board of Health, and she works in our maternal and child family health program. And under her her lane, she has four different programs in which she works. One is Ohio Health Improvement Zones, and Angela will tell you about what these are as we go through the day here. The Peer Program, Cribs for Kids, and Preconception Reproductive Health, which is, as we say, that larger umbrella of what we're talking about here. So all these programs in which Angela works are designed to support infant vitality and eliminate infant or maternal mortality. And we're also joined by a guest who has been on our show before, and we welcome her back, Michelle Benko, and she is our supervisor of the Maternal and Child Health Program overall under our Population Health Service Area. So as the supervisor of this team, Michelle engages with a number of maternal and child health organizations and committees to advance the health and well-being of mothers and children right here in Cuyahoga County. She's well-versed in addressing social determinants of health and equity in order to positively shape community health outcomes, and obviously with the goal of reducing infant mortality in Cuyahoga County. So we're very glad to welcome Angela and Michelle to the program. And we're going to get started now, so I'm going to pass it over to Suzanne, and she's going to start and get us on the road here.
Angela, there have been important advances in medicine and prenatal care in recent years. Can you speak to what we're looking at with what we call preconception health care in the medical community?
Thanks so much, Suzanne, and thank you all for having us on today. So preconception is a program that we have in our population health service area. And preconception, it is that portion of time before you get pregnant, but then there's also a terminology called interconception. And that preconception is vital because that is the opportunity that women, childbearing individuals have to ensure that their baby will live to their first birthday. And you might say, what is it that they possibly can do? We try to encourage healthy lifestyle, healthy eating, getting to appointments, and things of that nature. And so that is the most important aspect to ensure infant vitality.
We also talk a lot about preconception health for women specifically and for men. And maybe could you address a little bit about what we look for with our women, what we look for our men for creating that healthy lifestyle for the healthiest baby possible?
Absolutely. Thanks, Suzanne, again. So one of the things that I'd like to just share is that when I go before communities and we talk about preconception, sometimes people just roll their eyes. They're like, I'm not having a baby, and I'm not interested in listening to this. But it's not just for those that are planning a pregnancy. It just leads directly to healthy lifestyle. It encourages healthy lifestyle. And so what is just the bonus of all of that is that you have a healthy baby. And so Suzanne asked the question as to what are some of the intricate parts, what are like the details of all of that, right? So that would be ensuring that you're eating nutritious food, making sure that you're getting to your doctor's visits, making sure that you are monitoring those things that we call like the heavy hitters, like chronic disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and all of that. And then also, guess what? Partners are important. Sometimes dads can be sitting in the same room and they may say, am I important too? Well, partners are very important. We want you all to stay healthy as well. That means that if a partner is healthy, then they can encourage mom to do those things to support, you know, they will support each other. As a father, it means that you make sure that your baby is safe as well and that your baby makes it to your their first birthday by implementing all those things, assisting families to get to their doctor's appointments, making sure they eat healthy and they have access to healthy food items and they have the appropriate health care that they need.
Thanks for that explanation, Angela. Now, we know that when we talk about just health in general or preconception health, that it's different for everybody, right? Things are unique depending on, you know, your current health status, any chronic conditions you may have, so on and so forth. So based on that, we know that an assessment, as you mentioned, by a healthcare professional, right, is the best way to understand where you're at, what you need to do, what steps you should follow. So, but there are some general things, right, in terms of things that we want people to try to do, you know, every day and make sure that they're following, you know, certain healthy habits that kind of prescribe to all of us, right? So can you talk a little bit about that, please, about the importance of that and how that may apply to a family that's planning to have a baby?
Absolutely. So there are certain things that are kind of overall arching, right? And those things would be being aware of any STDs that might be present. You may have high blood pressure, I think I mentioned, and other chronic diseases. But then also it's just those lifestyles and behaviors. So we try to discourage smoking, and then we'll talk a little bit later in our program about the impact that smoking may have just on a sleeping baby and making sure that that is, you're mindful of that. So no smoking, certain drugs and things like that, making sure that you are addressing any substances that would be toxic to your body. Receiving, this is a big one, and that would be mental health. And ensuring that, so we know that moms, childbearing folks, if they have any mental conditions, then during the time of pregnancy that it will intensify. So we really try to make sure that we're stressing our behavioral health and making sure they're getting the appropriate services and support as possible, making sure that they know the right medication, always pushing folic acid and things like that. Vitamin B is a good one as well. Being aware of your alcohol intake, and then just making sure that you're just overall aware of your general health.
Many times folks will call the health department at our main line, which is the 216-201-2000, and they'll ask very specific questions about STDs, sexually transmitted diseases or infections, and they need more, you know, some additional information. So we want to give you our clinic hotline. So if you do have a need for a test or at least more information, one of our nurses or a nurse practitioner could speak with you. And that number is 216-201-2041. And we are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. And certain evenings, we also have hours. But always just give us a call first before you make the trip out to our Parma location or our newer location in Warrensel Heights near South Point Hospital. So moving forward, I think Kevin is going to take us on the next set of questions.
All right. Thank you, Suzanne. I just wanted to follow up on one thing that Angela mentioned, which is folic acid. You know, this is a B vitamin, and having enough of it in your body at least a month before and then also during pregnancy, right, helps with preventing major birth defects. And these can often be noted in the baby's brain or the formation of the spine. So these are very, very critical This is a very critical piece of which we're talking about. So while Angela's talking about, you know, making sure that you're staying up with your medications if you're prescribed to take any, and you're minding, you know, your lifestyle pieces here, and trying to mind your P's and Q's a little bit. Make sure as a mother who could be expecting that you're looking to have that regular intake of folic acid. And again, we will say this many times during this show today, is check with your healthcare provider, because your situation, as we stated before, is unique to you as an individual. So we are not going to give you general advice other than this, you know, don't smoke too much, don't drink too much, get your exercise, right? Things like that. But things that really are specific to your individual health, you want to make sure that you're checking in with the healthcare provider. Along with that, if you're having any problems in terms of managing any things that could be interfering with your lifestyle, one of the things that we know that can be very difficult is smoking. We know that smoking is a habit that is very difficult to shed. And so we want to give you a resource that's available through the state of Ohio. It's 1-800-QUIT-NOW, which is 1-800-784-8669. You can call that number and talk to a counselor, and that person will help you get started on the road to what we call smoking cessation or stopping smoking. So, yes, if you need that resource, please take advantage of that as well. So we want to talk, too, about maintaining a healthy weight. So I'm going to flip this back to Angela. But, you know, we talked about how important it is to reach and maintain a healthy weight, you know, because there could be a lot of different factors, you know, that could affect you. So we talked about the value of exercise, but we just, you know, I want Angela to kind of roll out a little bit, if you would, please.
Thank you, Kevin, once again. So it's really important to be mindful of your weight. We do know that if you are experiencing any issues with obesity or overweight, you have a higher risk for many conditions, which would be complications to your pregnancy, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, things like that. There's also, on the flip side, those who are underweight can also be at risk for serious health problems. So just being mindful of it, I think it's always so very key, and I recently had some impacts to my health, is making sure that we're staying on top of our water intake and staying hydrated, making sure that we're taking our medication as we need, and making sure that we're getting physical exercise is super important.
So Angela, thank you for all those tips, you know, trying to keep us healthy, right, trying to keep us on the right track. And once again, as we said, we'll encourage you to contact your medical provider with any questions or concerns that you may have regarding your health or the health of your family. But we want to switch now to talking a little bit more substantively about the work that we're doing here at the Board of Health, and to kind of, I wouldn't say launch our efforts, but to continue our efforts in preconception and really get a foundation built. We were able to apply for a grant, and we were enabled to also enlist community partners in that process. So Angela, would you please describe that process to us and tell us how the other partners became involved?
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting. So we are funded by Ohio Department of Health, and we have a Cribs for Kids program. This year, we decided to do mini grants. And so we provided a grant solicitation. We offered it to community partners. Any nonprofits were eligible to apply for this grant, up to $10,000. And so we had several applicants. Out of those applicants, we identified 7 awardees. And so the goal of our mini grant project was to identify community-based organizations that would be able to assist us in providing our community, eligible community, moms, dads, caregivers, and distributing safe sleep survivor kits, which is amazing because it includes Pack and Play, which provides our families in Cuyahoga County with a safe place for their child to sleep. And then it has a kit, which includes a survival kit is what we call it. It has a fitted sheet, it has a sleep sack, and then we also, on top of that, and this is like the ice cream on the cake, y'all, it's the safe sleep education. And it really provides families with information so they understand why is it important to make sure that their babies are safely put to sleep, and then also how they can do it. It gives them the tips and the tools. So I'm excited for those partners.
Angela, can you speak to how you targeted which communities? How did you utilize data to decide who would be best served by this program?
Awesome. Thanks, Suzanne. So what we did is we identified those areas where we saw a need for this information. So we identified, I think it was approximately 12 zip codes, and those 12 zip codes, I won't give them all because I won't bore you with the whole list, but I'll start off with 44102, and that went all the way to 44137. And so we are asking our partners, that's what we're calling our recipients, our partners, because they're working with us side by side in this effort. We looked at where we saw there was instances of babies not surviving to their first birthday. We looked to see where we may have saw a lull in distribution of our cribs for kids. And that's how we are able to fill the gap of the inequities that we saw in distributing. Primarily also, if I can say this, our program targets African-American, Black, Hispanic, and Latino residents. And I must say, shout out to our awardees because they have really indicated that they are definitely going to be targeting in our target zip codes and targeting those specific populations.
So if I'm a person who needs a pack and play, I need a safe place for my child to sleep, what steps should I take? What should I do next?
Absolutely. So there's so many ways that I'm just proud because it's through the efforts of our organization. So you can call us if you'd like. And so you can reach us at 216-201-2000 extension 2019. And that's how you can reach our Cribs for Kids program. But then amazingly, we also have a navigation service. And that is through our partner, which is Neighborhood Leadership Institute. And you can reach Neighborhood Leadership Institute through their navigation services at 216-658-1363, and that goes directly to their navigator, or you can reach them at their organizational number at 216-812-8700. And so that's how you can get those pack and play. So if I can, Suzanne, can I share the eligibilities? Okay. So in order for a mom, and so I keep saying this, so let me just cover it. It doesn't just have to be a mom. You know, we know that families can come in all these different shapes and sizes. It could be a mom who can get a pack and play, dad can get a pack and play, partners can get pack and plays. And if you have your child staying at a family member's, whether it is a grandma, grandpa, if they do not have a safe place for your child to sleep, then it's okay. And so they also are eligible for pack and plays. And so we were talking about the eligibility, so I'll kind of go over that. We want to make sure that the moms are at least 32 weeks pregnant or have an infant less than 1 year of age, that you are identified as low income, and that would be defined as less than 200% of the federal poverty limit. Parents who live in separate homes, and I already covered this, and also we want to make sure that we get our caregivers.
Thanks for that overview, Angela. Really appreciate that. So you can see there's a lot of room for people to fit in here. When Angela acknowledged the zip code areas that we're trying to cover, we're looking at places that are certainly in the city of Cleveland, east side and west side, both locations. We're looking at Warrensville Heights. We're looking at Maple Heights, Garfield Heights. So there are some defined places in which we are providing service. And when we look at these areas, you know, when we talk about this, those of us here at the Board of Health, we want to impart this to you as a listening audience. When we look at areas in which we need to provide service, a lot of times these areas will overlap. You know, we look at areas where we have more houses that may be contaminated, you know, by lead paint. We look at places where life expectancy might not be as broad as it is in other areas of the county. So, you know, we are determined to keep the focus on providing service to the residents and businesses in our area who need it the most, right? We want to make sure that, because part of equity is not just making sure, equity is not about everybody getting the same thing. It's about people getting what they need to make things work for them. And so that's what we're trying to provide through the service. So we really appreciate the thought that went into this grant process and the coverage area, because we certainly know that this is a defined population that needs help in this area. All right, so I think we've covered that process pretty well, but we do have one more thing that I'd like to, to bring up, because we can't do this work by ourselves, right? There is no way that we could accomplish this on our own. Hence, that's why Angela explained why we put the mini grant out there, and trying to get the help that we need to make sure that we're connecting with everybody who needs our help. So I'm gonna pass it back to Angela for a second. She's gonna tell you about those partnerships.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I was screaming, partners, yes. So I want to give a shout out to the partners, and then I want to talk a little bit, if I may, Kevin, about the safe sleep education and the ABCs of safe sleep. We want to make sure we don't forget about that part. So to shout out our partners, we have the Thinking Cap, we have Friend of Felon, Rainbow Center, University Hospital, we have New City Cleveland, Community of Faith Collaborative, Zelly's Home, and Famico's Foundation. Those are our 7 awardees, and we are super excited to begin the work with them, and that work began on March the 6th, and so we're pretty excited. The next thing that I'd love to talk about would be the ABCs of safe sleep. And this is pretty much, it's just something that we share with families when we distribute our pack and play. We would love to just say, kind of like Oprah a little bit, like, you get a pack and play. But we can't. We do have certain requirements that we have to adhere to. So the first I share with you guys, which is the eligibility. The second is that not just us here at the Cuyahoga County Board of Health, but our partners are required to educate families. And so when they educate families, they talk about the ABCs, and I'll quickly take you through that. So ABCs of safe sleep would be alone, right? We want to make sure the baby is in their sleep space with nothing besides the baby. No blankets, no pillows, no bumpers, right? It's okay to room share, but not to bed share. You might say, what in the world does that mean? That means the baby can be in the same room with you, but you don't want the baby to be in the bed with you. You want to prevent any issues with suffocation and things of that nature. If you have twins, it's okay. You can get 2 pack and plays. If you have triplets, you can get 3 pack and plays. It's okay. You want to make sure that the baby is lying on its back and making sure that the baby is on its back for naps and for overnight sleep. You want to also ensure that you don't use any sleep positioners. That would be like any boppies, and those are all nice, but you just want to make sure that during this time of infancy that the baby doesn't endure any suffocation, doesn't get lodged inside that wonderful boppy, so you want to be careful. The next would be C for crib. Baby should sleep in a crib, pack and play, or bassinet, and any other safety approved crib. The mattress in the sleep space should be firm and flat and not inclined at all. It's not safe for the baby or the infant to sleep in a car seat, swing, bouncer, or sleep positioner, like a, they call them like a dock, a tot, or something like that. And so you might say, well, if my baby falls asleep in the car seat, is that okay? Well, yes, if you're watching the baby and you're driving, you can watch the baby while the baby is sleeping and making sure there's nothing that would cause the baby any suffocation. But this is if they were overnight, right, or if you're sleeping. Because at some time you wouldn't necessarily know if there's an incident that's happening, okay, because you'd also be sleeping. The other I'll end with would be D, don't smoke. And we talked about this earlier. We talked about some resources that we have. Mom should not smoke during their pregnancy. Infants should not be exposed to smoke. If someone is smoking in the house, you might ask them to smoke outside of the house. And if they have to hold the baby, that they would take off the shirt that they may have had on while they were smoking to ensure that the smoking does not affect the baby or change their clothes. Okay. Thank you.
Angela, we appreciate that information. And I know there's some data that you wanted to share with us about safe sleep and related illness or death. Could you share that with us?
Sure, I can. So our current data from 2022, we have 20 sleep-related deaths, and 11 were surface sharing, and then we also have 15 that were Black, non-Hispanic. And so that's our target currently at Cuyahoga County Board of Health, is to ensure in our Black and brown babies that they live to their first birthday. You'll start to see as you navigate the safe sleep, and we talk about maternal mortality and infant mortality, and more importantly, infant vitality. We want our baby, we want to end it on a positive note. We want our babies to live. We don't want to talk about the death, but the life of babies. You'll see that our partners, such as NLI, they have these call to actions that encourage us to have our babies participate in breastfeeding, safe sleep, mental health stability, things like that. And those are the call to actions that most of our partners have implemented.
Very good, Angela. Thank you for that explanation. I appreciate that. And I just wanted to double back on something. I know in public health, we are often prone to using a lot of abbreviations or acronyms, or we take it for granted that everybody knows what we're talking about. So I just wanted to go back, in case you aren't familiar with what a pack and play is, just so that for those of you who don't know what one is, it is basically a really cool playpen. For those of you who are older, remember the days, it is a very cool playpen. It's full size, it folds up, it's got feet, it's got wheels, it's durable, you can put it in a bag to transport it. So it really is, it provides a nice environment for the child, and it comes with a bassinet inside as well. So you have a nice place for your child, for your infant to sleep. And it's removable, right? So you can pull it in and out to clean it if you need to. So it's a very convenient, cool thing. So if you weren't familiar with what that is, you understand the value of it now. They're really nice. They're very portable, easy to set up. So it's a nice thing for us. And we're very happy to make those available. As Angela said, we have a large number of them. And, you know, so please contact the Neighborhood Leadership Institute, as we mentioned before. They are the navigators for this particular program and for others that we will talk about today. So we can't say enough about their the value that they've provided us with their partnership. And we just want to give you their number one more time, which is 216-658-1355. And so if you call there, and that is the Neighborhood Leadership Institute Navigation Team, you call them, tell them that you heard about this on the radio, and you would like to connect up with the program, and they will be happy to help you. So again, we're very happy to make that available. And now we're going to switch off into another activity in which we have become involved with that is also filled with a number of community partners, a lot of great concepts, and a very, I think, fundamental piece in terms of trying to provide better health for moms and families and babies. This is a big part of it. So we introduced Michelle Banco earlier, and now Michelle is going to talk to us about a program that she has partnered, or we have partnered with collectively, and she's going to talk particularly about RTA and the Baby on Board program.
Yep. Thank you for letting me join yet again to talk about a lot of different important information and useful information for the public out there to be able to access resources, much needed resources. So the Baby on Board program is a project that burst out of a collaboration between the Cuyahoga County Board of Health and the Greater Cleveland RTA. So this is a partnership between our organizations. We utilized a grant from the Ohio Department of Transportation to really pilot this program called Baby on Board. The project itself was really came together from data as well as partners in the community expressing the need for the basic need of transportation for pregnant moms. There was data out there showing that pregnant women were actually missing their healthcare appointments due to the lack of transportation. So, and then coupled with the Cuyahoga County's long-standing alarming infant mortality rates and the wide racial disparities, amongst the infant mortality rates made us put us into action. And I also want to kind of go back to the reason why we're really moving towards addressing infant mortality through these multiple different approaches and arms. Our infant mortality right here in Cuyahoga County, while it is the lowest rate that we've seen respective year, which is due to a lot of the great work across our county, but our infant mortality rate overall is a 7.2 deaths per 100,000 live births. This is still the lowest it's been in the county. However, we can do better. We know that the infant mortality rate is slightly higher than Ohio's, which is at 7.0, and then for the U.S., it is at 5.6. So we are still elevated, and we want to address the need where we need to see it. But I will tell you the racial disparities of, you know, seeing that we know that black women are actually 3.5 times more likely to lose their infant to a Caucasian woman. So we wanted to be intentional and be thoughtful in the process and ensuring that we're meeting the families where they're at. And that's why we do targeted programming across our county. So the Baby on Board Project is actually, overall what it does is provides bus passes to pregnant families, and it's not just pregnant women, it is and people. It is to the partners, the family members within that family that are taking care of that child under the age of one. And folks can get these passes through our partnering organizations. So currently we have about 14 different partnering organizations across our county that do distribute these passes. There are certain criteria, obviously, that we look at. The family must be pregnant or caring for a family less than the age of one. They must be a resident of Cuyahoga County. They must also not have transportation to meet their medical or social needs. And the family must be engaged in the Baby on Board Community Partners Program. So those would be the 14 different partners in Cuyahoga County, their different programs. Programs such as Moms First, NLI's Navigation Services, Neon Health Services, those are our partners that are out in the community.
All right, thank you, Michelle, for the introduction to that. So the premise of this is to make passes available to eligible families, right? And we talked a little bit about, you know, how people may become eligible. So some of the other things I think that we would, looking over the plan here for some of these activities, would be to make a better environment for people while they're waiting for the bus to arrive, correct? So we're trying to make it a little more thoughtful, because not everybody who catches a bus is an individual, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we have families catching, we have families that are intergenerational, so sometimes we have family members that need canes, wheelchairs, right, special assistance. So there's a lot of considerations that go into making it a safer and more comfortable environment for people. So would you mind addressing that portion of the activities?
Yeah, of course. Thank you for the question. A part of this project as well is working with RTA to upgrade different bus shelters in identified areas. One of the ways we did this was communicating and working with our partners to identify a few locations near their facilities, and then also identifying facilities that may need assistance that were along the closer to healthcare institutions as well. We had currently to date we upgraded about 23 different bus shelters along the routes on the east side. We added things such as a physical shelter themselves because we want to obviously protect the families from the environment. We live in Cleveland, Ohio. So obviously, you know, snow, rain, sleet, whatever comes our way, making sure that our families are comfortable in the waiting area. We also added benches so then families and kids can sit while they're waiting for the bus. And then also solar lighting. We know that, you know, lighting can be a great deterrent for crime. So ensuring that there's proper lighting in certain in the bus shelter location. And then just in general, making sure that the location of the bus shelters, if they were not in such a safe area or a safe place along the roadway, as far as like picking up the stop, those were either moved or improved in that area.
Hey, you guys. So I'm like a busybody and I'm so excited, but I have to say this, right? So I want you guys to be encouraged that if you find that the use of shelters or our baby on board bus tickets doesn't relate to you, share it with someone else, please, because the services are amazing and I consistently run into people that don't know about baby on board. The second thing is that please take a look at the shelter. So I passed one the other day on St. Clair and it's amazing, right? So before it was just a pole. Just a pole with the RTA sign, right? But now we have an amazing shelter and you'll also see our logo on it. So you have to take a look at the shelters. Thank you.
Very good. Well, and let's talk a little bit more about this. When we look at the program, it's only been in operation, at least with our participation, for a few years, right? But during that time, we've already distributed collectively as a partnership 2,400 bus passes, which is pretty impressive, I think, as considering this was just a pilot a couple of years ago. But there's also a survey attached to this in terms of some of the people who were actually recipients of the passes and the ways in which they use them and how it became important to them. So we look at that, and one of the indicators is that 43% of the recipients who received transit passes took the bus every day. So whether that's going to work, that's going grocery shopping, that's going to medical appointments, that's getting your, as we said, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, whoever, to wherever they need to go. So that's an eye-opening statistic. And as we dig down in, 28% of the respondents to the survey said they did use the pass for a medical appointment. So we know that over one-fourth of the recipients are using it for the purpose of getting to medical appointment. And then the final stat I have for you is 24% of the people who used the passes walked over 11 minutes to the most commonly used bus or transit stop. So I'm going to ask Michelle if she could follow up on that a little bit for me.
Yeah, so we are, you know, these are all amazing information and data that actually help drive a lot of the programming and our partnerships too. I can't say enough, our partners who interact with families on a daily basis help provide a lot of this information and help change the way that we're doing business these days. So yes, all those stats are absolutely correct. As a result to the one last stat about the 24% of people actually walking over 11 minutes to get to the most commonly used bus stop, we're exploring other opportunities with First Year Cleveland and RTA to see how do we improve additional stops across our county. So we are now seeking funding to be able to improve those bus shelters to make sure that they're safer, they're family friendly, and allowing folks to be able to utilize the bus pass program a lot more.
And just as a reminder, again, that Neighborhood Leadership Institute number, if you're interested in these programs, is 216-658-1355. And because we're so proud of the work we do here for reproductive health, and these, again, as Angela and Michelle so poignantly stated, to be people that are of childbearing years, whether or not they're ready to have a baby yet or they want to focus on their health first, we do have reproductive health clinic here at the Board of Health. Our phone number here is 216-201-2041. And because we try to be updated and available, we have texting available. You can text us at 216-406-3251 or email directly to a nurse by emailing CCBH nurse, which stands for Cuyahoga County Board Health Nurse, at ccbh.net. So please contact us to make an appointment. And to remind you of the services we offer, birth control options, pregnancy testing and counseling, health screenings, HIV and sexually transmitted infection testing, PrEP services, and that's of course for HIV prevention. And our promise is confidential services delivered for all genders. Clients 13 years of age or older can be seen without parental consent, and we're provided regardless of your ability to pay. We are truly committed to health equity. The social determinants of health, they drive what we do. Those are the things that tell us why people are healthy or unhealthy. And we are working hard here at the agency to find where the most need is, as Kevin stated before.
So as a sidebar to this conversation, we've talked about sexually transmitted diseases more than once here. And I want to mention one in particular that is really on our radar and nationally on the radar now, which is congenital syphilis. There has been a nationwide increase in syphilis cases, which means that more babies are being born with syphilis. That's what congenital syphilis means, is that it's, you know, the mother has the illness and then it is passed on to the baby through pregnancy. So since 2018, we have seen cases in our Northeast Ohio region here. They have risen at three times the rate of syphilis cases that we had seen previously. So for several years, we are seeing more and more cases as time goes on. So in response to this, as a Board of Health, being concerned with trying to prevent, or what we call mitigate, right? We want to stop these things from happening. We have formed what's called a Congenital Syphilis Review Board. And this, we've comprised a group of local infectious disease and obstetric physicians, so basically people who know about STDs and people who deal with people who are pregnant, disease intervention specialists, which are people, we have several of those kind of people working here at our agency, right? People who intervene and try to mitigate or prevent illness from happening, trying to find the root causes, looking at data, looking at social circumstances, right, and then trying to intervene or you know, intercept the problem and get in there and do something about it. Epidemiologists, who are the people who basically do all the research and collect all the data, or are able to access the data if we don't collect it ourselves, and able to use that and inform our program people, like our disease intervention specialists and like Angela and Michelle, as to what the data tells us. Remember, we had that talk a little bit earlier about how the county map, we see some of the same problems in the same places, right? The only way we know that is because we're collecting data from a lot of different sources, and this is informing what we're trying to do. So we're taking all of that information, and we're putting it together, and so we're trying to do what we can to prevent, first of all, see a decrease in these rates of syphilis is our first goal, and then hopefully to provide a lot of education so that we can, you know, we can eliminate that from being a high-profile situation and make it more manageable. So if you'd like more information about that, please visit our website at ccbh.net to learn more. So we'll continue our conversation now here about what Angela and Michelle are doing in terms of preconception. And I think we've done a good job, I think, of covering the various activities. So Suzanne's going to talk a little bit about one other service our clinic provides, and then I think we're going to follow up with Angela and Michelle to see if there's any sort of current events or activities or any places that are good places for resources, right? Like places that they work with or organizations with whom we work as partner, which to whom we can refer you. But first of all, Suzanne's going to tell us a little bit more about an initiative that came out of our clinic.
Yeah, we talk a lot about equity and sustainability here at the Board of Health in pretty much every program we work. And when it comes to child and maternal health, one of the wonderful programs we're a part of is the Mother's Milk Bank. Basically, breast milk donations are received from lactating moms or their partner who delivers that, and they bring the product frozen to our office in Parma. And the nutrients are especially vital to the preemies and babies most at risk. They need a safe supply, which is so important for their growth. And for many reasons, some moms aren't able to deliver their own breast milk, and we know just how vital they can be. So donor moms get pre-screened and receive a donor ID number. They pump it home and bring their labeled frozen breast milk to our office. And that milk is sent to the Ohio Department of Health, where there are certain screenings that happen, and then they send it to the hospitals most in need. It can be life-saving and life-changing for those infants. Milk can be delivered Monday through Friday between 8:30 and 4:30, excluding federal holidays, to our office. So you always can call ahead, that 216-201-2041 number, to see if, you know, we're open in case you're missing a holiday. If you're interested and you have in any of the products or services that we've talked about today, you can always call our main line. And one of the things that we want to stress to you is that there are lots of folks in need in our community. Our own neighbors are very much in need. So as you're listening, if you have products or services that you would like to donate, car seats are one example, to moms or young families, please contact us at the Board of Health. You can call 216-201-2001, and my extension is 1117. My name is Suzanne Rush, and I'm the Director of External Affairs. And we would be happy to funnel donations you may have to charities or service groups that work similarly. But if it's about the breast milk, we want you to call our clinic at 216-201-2041.
All right, so Angela, we wanted to catch up on some current events or some things that are happening around town. So would you mind telling us a little bit about what's happening?
Yes, so first of all, I gave you guys an amazing list of all of our partners. Each one of our partners, as a part of their mini grant process, has identified events that they will be offering between March and September. So if you go to any one of those, we're going to be promoting those on our website. We'll be utilizing our social media as well. So please take a look at our social media, take a look at our Facebook, on our website at www.ccbh.net. But another program that I wanted to share with you all, our office will also be a part of it, excuse me, through our Preconception and Reproductive Health Grant. It is Motivated and Empowered, and it is the third annual Empower Me Conference. It's for young girls and teens. It will be held at the Brown Stadium. It has a variety of sponsors, such as First Year Cleveland and Metro. But Cuyahoga County Board of Health will have a vendor table there, and will also be providing two sessions. That is scheduled for Friday, April the 19th through Sunday, April the 21st, where it will culminate with a Mommy and Me event. The keynote address on Friday will be Dr. Steed, and so it should be pretty amazing. I'm excited. There's so many people. I would be here all day if I listed the many, many people that would be participating. I'm just glad that we are able to participate in that program. The last thing I'll share is please check out www.neighborhoodleadership.org. Another one of our partners, and also we identify them as Navigation Services. They do have events that will be coming up soon. Thank you.
All right, so a lot of good information, a lot of things happening around town, a lot of things we can refer you to, and we're glad to do that. So I want to go back for a second to the conversation we had about sexually transmitted diseases and illness, and I want to make you aware of something on a related note that we at the Board of Health here are very invested in, and we're very big believers in trying to contribute to ending the HIV epidemic. We know we have endured this. For those of you who are older, you remember the stigma and the hype and the sensation around HIV and AIDS when it first came on the radar in the late 70s. We've seen high profile people in all walks of life, athletes, celebrities, come out and tell us about their trials and tribulations with the illness. So as part of a community-based effort here, this past June, it's been almost a year, but we participated in an event that was very significant downtown. It was our health commissioner, Dr. Harris, our director of equity, diversity, inclusion, Dr. Andre Brown, the county executive, Chris Ronayne, City of Cleveland Mayor Justin Bibb, Dr. Margolius, who's the director of the Cleveland Department of Public Health, and Dr. Jose Zuniga, who is the president and CEO of the Fast Track Cities Institute. So what this means is ending the HIV epidemic here locally. What we did is that group of leaders I just referred to, they committed and signed an agreement that is part of a larger effort that involves more than 500 cities and counties throughout the country that have become known as Fast Track Cities. And they're involved in a commitment that calls for the sharing of best practices and data. Again, we're talking about data, right? We've talked about it several times, having that information that tells us where we want to go. So we want to share the best practices and data and work together with all of our local municipalities and healthcare providers to bring an end to the HIV epidemic here. And so Fast Track Cities has what they call a 95-95-95 model. So I want to just familiarize you all with what that means. So the 95-95-95 model means 95% of people living with HIV are aware of their health status. 95% of people living with HIV are receiving antiretroviral therapy, and 95% of those receiving the therapy are effectively suppressing the virus. So let's go back and tell you what all that means. So 95% of people living with HIV are aware of their status. That means we want people to be tested. We want people to absolutely be tested and be aware of what their status is and understand. And testing is free here at the Board of Health. So just another plug for our clinic. And it is anonymous as well. So if you want a free anonymous test, 216-201-2041. 95% of people receiving antiretroviral therapy. So that means there are drugs available. There are several of them, but one of them that we deal with here very frequently at the Board of Health is PrEP. And PrEP is a drug that's designed to suppress the presence of the virus within your body and make you less likely to transmit, right? So the idea is for you to be better protected and for you to be less able to transmit and hopefully at some point not be able to transmit the disease, right, is the goal. So, and then we want 95% of those people who receive the therapy to make sure that that PrEP or whatever drug it is effectively working within their body. The test, to go back to that, takes about 20 minutes. So it's not a big part of your day. If you'd like to come in and have some assurance and know where you stand, we'd be glad to help you, 216-201-2041. All right, so we are getting ready to wrap up. So I would like to thank our guest, Angela Henderson, our program manager for our preconception health program, Michelle Benko, supervisor in our maternal and child health program, my former partner in crime, who is my new partner in crime, Suzanne. She's like a bad habit. She doesn't go away. We liked her so much, we wanted to bring her back, so she's back again. We're very happy to have her back, though. We kid her a lot, but we're very happy to have her back. So again, you can find us online, ccbh.net. You can call our main line, 216-201-2000. You can call our clinic, 216-201-2041. Thank you all for listening, and we look forward to speaking with you next month on Public Health Matters.
This has been Public Health Matters, brought to you every month by the Cuyahoga County Board of Health. For more information about today's topics and more, you can always visit the Cuyahoga County Board of Health online at ccbh.net. Tune in on the third Saturday of next month at 12 noon for the next edition of Public Health Matters.